Well, this morning we're continuing in our series, Is There Something More? And I think the truth of the matter is, I think we're all coming to this understanding, is that there is something inside of us that knows that this world, this life is not all there is, because this world and this life is really just filled with disappointment, isn't it? There's pain, and there's hurt, and there's death here. And if we're honest, there's something in us that's not quite satisfied with where we're at. And there's this thing and this knowledge inside of us that we know that this world isn't the way it ought to be. And we just know that intuitively, and that's because God wrote that there. That there's something more. There's something better. But when we breathe our last breath on this earth, we learned last week what happens when we die. Our earthly body, which is mortal, which is it's a temporary house that houses our spirit, and the spirit is who we really are. Our personality that makes up who we are is our spirit. And what happens when we breathe our last breath on earth, that body and the spirit are separated. And at that moment that the body and the spirit are separated, you are awake in heaven, conscious in the presence of Jesus. If you are in Christ, meaning that you've accepted what Christ has done on your behalf, that he died for your sins and that he rose from the grave and he's defeated death. That you believe that and you're in Christ and you're living your life right now for him. You have that. But we also learned that there's another place where there's if you die and you are apart from Christ, you've never accepted that free gift of grace, that you're the same thing happens. You leave your body behind because it's physical, but spiritually you are separated from your body and you are conscious in a place of what Jesus called hell. And it's a place where you're separated from God forever. You're separated from his grace. You're separated from his mercy. You're separated from his love. So we kind of learned what happens when we die. But the great news is, because of Christ, we don't have to fear death. We know what's going to happen. And this morning, I want us to get our eyes lifted towards heaven, because I think some of us are afraid to dream about heaven, to long for heaven, or even just to live for heaven. Because heaven is for real. And maybe you think that heaven is a made-up place that religions or people have just kind of made up, but it's real because Jesus talks about it and he says it's a real place, and it's a place that you and I should long for. For some reason in this world, though, we don't seem to long for it as much. We don't seem to think about it as much because, you know, who's there? We forget who's there. Jesus is there. And if we love Jesus and we really believe that he is who he said he is, then we long to be there with him. We don't want to just kind of make this earth our permanent home, but I understand why people want to dwell on earth and they can't really think about heaven, because sometimes it's hard to think about heaven, because heaven is not something that we can see and touch physically. The earth is something that we can see and touch, and we can understand that. And some of you have had great lives here on earth. Some of you have seen great things happen. Some of you just kind of cling on to this earth and go, there can't be anything better than this. Well, this morning, the simple message, just the only bullet point that I really have for you this morning is this. Heaven is real, and it's better. It's better than anything that you and I can imagine. And as we kind of walk into Scripture, I want to change your views a little bit, maybe. I want us to see what God says about heaven, because we have these weird views of heaven that we're these spiritual beings that are floating all over the place, and when we're there, we're there to indulge ourselves. We can just eat as much as we want. We can go wherever we want. We can do whatever we want, and it's all about kind of us is kind of what you kind of see heaven being for a lot of people. The reality is, heaven is not a place where we're going to be gluttons. Heaven is not going to be about you either. You're not going to get your home that's by the lake, that has a lake full of fish, which I dream of. But the reality, that's not heaven. The reality is, heaven is this. It's the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But I understand why we want those fantasies of heaven, because we want to know that there's something more, and there is something so much better. Now, I don't want you to hear this. I am not down on the earth. I mean, you hear us saying quite often, this earth is a broken down place filled with pollution. It's in decay. It's really not that beautiful of a place. I think the earth is a beautiful place, isn't it? It is an amazing place. I remember when Angie and I, we got ready to go to this conference out in California, and I've never seen the Rocky Mountains. I guess I was kind of a sheltered kid. We barely made it out of Michigan. And so I think I got to Ohio, so there's nothing great there other than some roller coasters. But we flew across the Rocky Mountains, and I thought, wow, that is beautiful. And it was like nothing that you could ever see from a picture, because you could see this mountain range, which it seemed like we flew over it for hours, and it just kept going, and it was vast. And I just remember thinking, wow, God, that's amazing. And then we got there, and we went to this conference, and we decided that we're going to stay a little bit longer and leave a little bit earlier. So then we decided that we would go on Highway 1. And those of you that know Highway 1, it's just beautiful. And I got a couple pictures that I just want to show you, because we were on Highway 1, and it was staggering. I mean, Angie and I, every time we're driving around corners, because it's a windy corner, cornery stretches, and you're just going, wow, wow. And I kept thinking, God, you're amazing. Your creation is so beyond my comprehension, because I was used to Michigan. And let me tell you, that doesn't look like Michigan. Michigan's beautiful, but this is beautiful too. And I just kept saying, wow, the marvels. And then we went around another corner and we saw a picture like this. And then we're just going, that's unbelievable, God. You are a God who creates something that is beautiful, that is beyond my comprehension. And I just kept saying, wow, wow. God, you're amazing. That was our whole lines the whole time for probably, what, 2 or 3 hours as we're going down it. Other than when a car would come up on the back side of me, and there was a sports car, and I had this little rental car, and I couldn't get any speed with it, and I wanted to race the guy, but I couldn't. But as we're going, it was just awesome. And then we got to this one spot here. And there's a red barn, and there's cows all over the place. And I said to my wife, I want to be a cow. Because I started thinking, that's got to be what heaven's like. Just stunning. Just beautiful. And I just want to graze there all day. I don't want to go anywhere. And then we came to another place where we got out of the car and we walked down to this beach. And I can't even tell you how stunning it was. So we just walked down there. It's kind of, it was like a scene out of the movie where you get these big, huge rocks and these caves. And I mean, I was just trying to take everything in, and I'm just going, God, you are amazing. Your creation is mind-blowing. And I was just so overwhelmed that we thought about going swimming in here, but, you know, it was kind of springtime and it was kind of cold. And then I also read this article that said this is like the triangle, the hotbed for great white sharks. So I thought that might not be good. And we didn't have our swimsuits either, so that might have been arrested. So we didn't do it. But it was gorgeous there, and it was just so beyond my comprehension. And then we kind of came back down towards San Francisco, and we came across the Muirwood Forest. And these aren't even the large redwood trees. These are kind of like the mini versions. If you go up north, you get to see the sequoias, and they're just massive. And when we saw this, I just couldn't help but come into this conclusion. God, you're amazing. God, your handiwork is way beyond my comprehension. And then I started to think about this. You know what heaven's like? It's better. It's better than anything we have experienced here on earth. Earth is just an appetizer for heaven. And it's going to blow our minds away. We can't fully comprehend what's coming for us. But I don't want us to get stuck and say that the earth is this wretched thing, because the earth is broken. And when this new heaven and earth that we're going to read about comes, there's going to be a new earth, and it's going to look like the new earth, but it's only going to be perfect. There's going to be a new heaven, but it's going to look like the new heaven, and it's going to be perfect. And it's something that we can't really dream of, because I can't imagine those pictures being any more perfect. But it's going to be beyond that. But I want to take our minds and kind of get us off this kind of ethereal view that we're just walking around heaven as a bunch of spiritual beings. And we're just walking around and we're floating around from cloud to cloud, and we're hearing some harp music, and we're hearing some Bugs Bunny going up to heaven, you know, kind of songs. You've ever seen that? You know, he plays the harp as he's going up there too. He's got the little angel wings. That's not heaven, okay? That's something that somebody has created in our minds, or what we have created. We are not just going to be these spiritual beings that are just kind of wandering around and doing what we want. Heaven is going to be a very organized place. It's going to be a very detailed place, and it's going to be way better than this earth. So if you're looking for a description of heaven, it's way better. I don't know how to explain it. But as we move into, if you have your Bibles, into Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, I'm sorry, we're going to start with. The problem is when you start talking about heaven is people don't really want to focus on it because something has to happen. We have to die. Loretta Lynn and David Crowder sang these songs, and in one part of it it says, everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Isn't that true? I mean, everybody wants that because it's like there's this longing, there's this knowledge that we have something better than this world, but nobody's really in a rush to die, and we sure don't want to die to ourselves, do we? We want to do what we want to do on this earth, and we want to enjoy and enhance us, and what we're going to see is that we have to die here on earth first, physically and spiritually, before we can enter this incredible place. Now, Christ may return, and you may still be alive, and that's another spin. That's another whole different day. But Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So it tells us what's going to happen. This earth is going to pass away. Everything that we enjoy here will pass away. I mean, we enjoy the sunsets on Lake Michigan, and I love them. I love sitting there with my wife and seeing them. I love going up and seeing Pictured Rocks and the UP. I mean, I love seeing all these different things, but all that stuff is going to pass away, but it's going to be better. And this new heaven is going to be better than the heaven that was there. And then in verse 21, it continues. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I mean, that's kind of hard for us to comprehend. All of a sudden, there's no sea. So something's incredibly happening on this earth. The way that God designed it originally is going to be put back to that. And it's something about no sea. I don't know what that means, but I can't wait to see it. Because it's going to be way more beautiful than what we just witnessed in those pictures. And then he goes on. He says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And in chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. That's a verse that we need to underline. What is heaven like? What is heaven about? It's all about God and his presence. It's all about that God wants to dwell with his creation. He wants to be with us. And maybe you're saying, does God really want to be with us? Yes, he wants to be with us. He wants to be our God. He wants to rule and reign in our hearts. He wants to be the first place in our lives. And God has always had this desire to be with his creation. When God created the heavens and the earth in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He walked with Adam and Eve, didn't he? He wanted to be with them. He didn't want to be separated from them. He didn't want to be some God up here that's apart. He wanted to walk with them. But sin entered in, and then he had to push them out of the garden. And because of the sin, he couldn't dwell with them because he's holy. And his glory would just consume them because of the sin that's in them. And then at a point in time when he decided, it's time to move my redemption plan forward, he revealed himself to Abraham. And he told Abraham, through you are going to be a blessing to all the nations. And you're going to have children. You're going to have numerous children, more than the stars in the heavens. And it's like all of a sudden Abraham's like, I don't have any children. And God's going, I know. I'm going to give you children. And Abraham trusted and he believed God, and God led him. And God wanted to walk with him. God wanted to be with us. But then what happened is God told Abraham that his children were going to go into slavery for a certain period. They were in slavery, and then the people cried out. God's people crying out, and then God heard them, and he moved again. He sent Moses, and Moses delivered them. While he's out in the desert, he wants to dwell with them. He wants to lead his people. Pillar of clouds by the day, a pillar of fire by night. And then he tells him to make the Ark of the Covenant, and he sends his spirit to dwell in this little bitty box just so he can dwell with his people. They get into the promised land, they build a temple, they put that box in the temple, and God's presence is there dwelling with the people. He wants to dwell. But then history goes on where the people begin to forget about God, and they start to live their own lives, and they focus on everything that they want. And it tells us in time what happened is the world became a very dark place. A place that was hopeless. A place that was getting very dark. And God, what did he do? He sent his son to come and dwell with mankind again. To give them a hope and to give them a future, and he would die. He would die to give them a hope and a future that they would have eternal life where they would dwell with God forever in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing about God? He wants to dwell with us. And heaven is really the presence of God. Heaven isn't about these big buildings and streets of gold and pearly gates and all this, these things that we kind of give these characteristics to heaven and the beauties in heaven. Yeah, that's all there. But none of that would matter if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit weren't there. It'd be just a big, beautiful place that's full of emptiness. Heaven is about the glory and the presence of God. And God wanting to be with us forever. And in this moment, you see the heaven and earth kind of colliding. And the two becoming one. And God finally saying, I get to dwell with my people. I get to be with them forever and ever. And then in verse 4, what's God going to do there? What's heaven going to be like? He says, he's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. All the struggles of this life, all the pain that's in this life, it won't be there. Probably the only tears that will be there are tears of joy. Because we're in his presence and we're overwhelmed by his beauty and his mercy, his grace, and his love. But he says that he's going to wipe every single tear. And he says there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Just imagine that. I mean, I was at a funeral, Robin's mom's funeral, Sharon Ring, this last weekend. And I was preparing for this message, and I thought, you know, there's going to be a day that I will never stand in front of a casket trying to comfort a family because they lost somebody that they loved. Isn't that going to be a beautiful day? There's not going to be a pain. There's not going to be any suffering there. There's not going to be any mourning. You can just imagine how good that place is. There's not going to be any broken relationships. There's always going to be hope. We're never going to be hopeless. I mean, it's better than we can imagine. That's why the only words that I can say about heaven, it's going to be better than earth. Everything on earth is going to be like amplified by a billion. That's how much better it's going to be. Probably even better than that. And I long for that day. I am living for that day. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I'm excited. I want to talk about it. I want people to know that there's this incredible place. There's only one way to get there, though. And we're going to kind of find that out as we can look in these scriptures. And then verse 5. It said, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. So is heaven real? Yeah. How do I know it? Because God just said it. He said, I am doing this. You can count on me. You can trust me. You can take me at my word. And God has proven all throughout history, he is faithful to his word and he will not change. So there is a day when this is going to come true. When you and I will get to experience something better than this. And then he said, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And then he who overcomes, verse 7, will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. How do we overcome? We stay faithful to Christ. We accept that grace. And no matter what this world throws at us, no matter how many disappointments that this world can throw at us, no matter how much pain that we feel here while we're on earth, we stay glued to the fact that we have a future and we have a hope in Christ in heaven. And it's going to be everything that we've ever been looking for. And we live this life fully for heaven. Not fully for us right now, but fully for heaven, that it's coming. And I'm going to live there, and I'm going to focus on there. Yeah, this world is real. Yeah, all these things happen. But when we start thinking about heaven, we do get kind of lost in the visions of heaven, don't we? I mean, if you start reading down through the next several verses here in Revelation 21, you'll see that heaven is a marvelous place. There's a section that talks about the foundations having gemstones and sapphires and emeralds and stones that I can't even pronounce and stones that I've never seen before. They're going to be like lining the foundations of the walls. But we get this little glimpse of heaven physically in this next couple of verses. In verse 21, I'm going to pick up at. It says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate made a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see the temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And you just have just a moment where all of a sudden John's eyes were lifted and you could see all the created buildings that were there. And they were just stunning. And he's trying to explain what it looks like. But you notice that he doesn't spend a lot of time on that. Immediately he starts to focus on what heaven really is about. That there's no temple. Why is there no temple? Because God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit are there. And they're there to receive all glory and power. And their glory is all you need. And we start to take our mind off of the physical presence of heaven and start looking at what heaven really is about again. And all of a sudden he says that the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. I mean, can you picture that? We don't need the sun or the moon anymore. I mean, we think the sun is bright. The glory of God and the glory of the sun is brighter than that. And we won't even need the sun. It's probably still around, but their glory is outshining the sun. And heaven is about their glory. Heaven is about their presence. And we don't need anything but them here. In fact, that's all we need here in this life too. And then you have this incredible thing that they kind of say that the nations will walk by its light. And this is verse 24. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. So God the Father and God the Son are being glorified. And there's still nations on the earth. And they're bringing all their splendor. They're bringing all their offerings to them saying, you deserve the best because you are incredible. Heaven is about the worship of God the Father, God the Son. And there's this incredible thing that's going on. All the nations are saying, it's all about God. It's all about their presence. And he says that the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we just need to stop for a moment. This is like a warning to us who are alive right now, still on earth. There's no way to get into heaven if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is the Lamb's Book of Life? It's simply this. It's a book that records all the people for all time who have ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Who have accepted that saving grace. When this time comes, if your name is not in that book, you will not enter into this place. Because you have not accepted the only sacrifice that would make you pure and holy, and that's the sacrifice of Christ. So it's a warning to us that while we're here, the decisions that we make here to follow Christ matters. Because one day, if you don't have Christ on your behalf, your name will not be in that book. And you will not be able to enter into the presence of this incredible God that we're reading about. It's not about the buildings. It's about the presence of God. And then verse 21 says this, or 22 verse 1, sorry. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. And every time I read that, I just have to pause. Can you just imagine that? No longer there's a curse. No longer. No longer is there going to be death. No longer are people going to struggle. No longer is there hopelessness. No longer is there brokenness. nothing that we struggle with, no death. It's all going to be done away with. What an incredible thing. It's better than this earth, isn't it? It's way better. And then you have him going on. He says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Guess what his servants are going to be doing? They're going to be working. They're going to be serving. They're going to have jobs to do. So the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. I mean, just can we pause there? Can you imagine seeing the face of God? Can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face in all of his glory, in all of his splendor? I don't think there's anybody that has seen God in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, unreserved glory. Because anytime somebody got a little glimpse in the Bible, what did they do? Woe is me. I'm going to die. But in heaven, because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, because you are holy and perfect because of Christ, you get to go into the presence of God and see him face to face. Intimate relationship with God. Everyone is going to have. And we have access to him. And he says, and his name will be on their foreheads. And then again, John says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's eternity, right? So what's heaven? Who's in heaven? God the Father, God the Son. What's heaven about? Their presence. Isn't that incredible? I know some of you are like, oh, that's too simplified. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be way better than we can imagine, though. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it's going to all the things that we're going to be doing, but I just know that it's going to be better than earth. And we are going to be satisfied there. Jesus had times where he was longing for heaven too. There's a time where he's kind of with his disciples, and he's telling them that he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to lay down his life. He's telling them that he's going to die, he's going to go into the grave, and 3 days later he's going to rise from the dead. And then he kind of tells him this in verse 16, but we're going to look at John chapter 17. But in verse 16, 33, he says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I mean, just that's a staggering thought, isn't it? Jesus says, here in this life, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have mourning. We're going to have death. We're going to have disappointment. And we're going to have them. It's coming. But take heart. This is not all there is. I have overcome the world. I have overcome this death that is here. I have overcome all the brokenness. I have given the final victory. And we can put our hope in that while we're here. And we can start living towards heaven and not be afraid of dying, because we don't need to be afraid to die, because this is an incredible place that we're going to go to. But Jesus is looking up, it tells us, and it's in verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 1. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. I mean, just, I don't know, I just kind of picture Jesus in this moment, just kind of gazing into the heavens and heavens opening up. I just it's got to be just a powerful moment when Jesus is saying these words. And just put yourself in that, because Jesus is longing to go back to this place called heaven, this place where his Father is. And look what he says: Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him the authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. I mean, Jesus is just looking up saying, Father, I want to be in your presence. Jesus is longing while he's on earth is to be in the presence of his Father. And to be in the presence and to feel the glory of his Father, and to have his glory back. And he's going, I just want to be back there, because it's way better than earth. Earth is okay, but it's way better in heaven, because my Father's there. And he says, and God, you granted me something while I'm here. You granted me authority to give eternal life. Do you know that we are eternal beings? You and I were created to be eternal. In the garden, if you remember, when God did all the creating, he said that he made man in his image. He put a spirit in mankind. And we are designed to live forever and ever and ever. There are other beings that were designed for eternal beings. Angels are eternal. Demons are eternal. God is eternal. Jesus is eternal. And the devil is eternal too. And Jesus is saying in this moment, God, you gave me the authority to give something, eternal life. Because there's a thing known as eternal death as well. But God, I came to show them what eternal life is and offer eternal life, not eternal death, not where there's separation from God forever in this place called hell. And when I say that Satan's eternal and I say demons are eternal, most of you are like going, oh, there is a hell then, because that's where Satan belongs, right? After everything that he's done, all the deception and all the destruction that he's done, that's where he belongs. But Jesus says there's two places. There's an eternal home, eternal life, or there's eternal death. One is with him, one is away from him. And Jesus says, I have the authority to give this. And then he says, so what's eternal life? And this is what Jesus says. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus says, eternal life is that you and I would know the one true God. That you and I would have a relationship with him. And that we would know that Jesus is the Son of the living God that was sent to give eternal life. He says, that's eternal life. That's the presence of God. Being with him forever and ever. And then Jesus continues. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave to me. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And Jesus is just longing, looking at God, saying, I want to be in your presence again. I want to be in the place where I was designed to be for eternity with you. And you and I should have that same longing. Those of you that have accepted Christ, you shouldn't fear death. Because you have a place that is so much better than this world. And it's a place where you are going to be with God the Father and God the Son forever and ever, and seeing their glory face to face. Nothing can compare to that. No, nothing in all of creation can even come close to any of that. Any of the fantasies that you have about heaven and what it's going to be like, nothing can even compare to that. Whatever you're imagining heaven to be, multiply it by 10 billion, 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 trillions. I don't even know if that's a number. But it's beyond you. It's beyond what we can comprehend. Heaven is a better place because God is there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's just better. So here's even a deeper theological answer to heaven. Heaven is better because it's better. That's the point for today. You got it? Why is it so much better? Because it told us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There's no pain. For the old order of things has passed away. What a place to be. A place where you're not going to wake up with pain in the morning. Your knees will never hurt. That neck pain that you feel, it'll be gone. The back pain that you can't handle sometimes, if that's going to be gone. The tears will be gone. The death will be gone. Mourning will be gone. That's an incredible place. That's why heaven's an incredible place. But heaven's great because it's not going to be a place of stress. It's a place where we're going to enjoy. We won't have burdens that we're going to be carrying around. We won't feel anxious. We won't have any type of anxieties at all. Heaven is a better place because there's going to be a reunion there. You're going to be reunited with your loved ones who are in Christ, who have died before you. Your mom who went before you, your dad who went before you, that was in Christ, they are there. And there's going to be a great reunion. For those of you who had a husband or wife pass away, they are going to be there. There's going to be a reunion. Maybe some of you had children that have passed away. They are there. And there's going to be an incredible reunion. Those relationships will be better than they were here. Now, some people always ask, is there marriage in heaven? And, you know, that's a complicated question because I don't know the answers to that. Yes, there are scriptures that kind of say this, but what I know about heaven is that we're going to have relationships that are better than they were here. If you have a good relationship with your spouse here, I can tell you in heaven, your relationship is going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. And our relationships with one another are going to be like we've never experienced before. And we're going to have intimacy with one another at a level that we crave and we long to have. But I don't know what it looks like. I'm not going to claim that. And I have this question that I had the teens ask me several times and people who lose babies ask all the time. They ask, what is the age where we are supposed to be accountable, or the age of accountability for somebody? They ask, the young teens always ask, what happens to babies that don't come into this world or only into this world for a short period? I started thinking about that and started wondering, okay, God, I don't see any scriptures that kind of go, boom, this is what happens. But then he led me to Psalm 139. When Psalm 139 says that God created us, our innermost being, while we were in the hidden places, in the womb of our mother. You see, humankind is far more than two human beings coming together and conceiving a baby. Humankind is a creation of God. God knows that person before they're born. And if they don't make it through the stages of birth that we say, here's all the stages, and they don't ever see the light of this earth, they are with God because they are His. They are His creation. What about the ones that just lived for a short while? Here's what Jesus said. Let the children come to me. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. And there's this verse that is so incredible. It gives us a little insight to the doorway of heaven. And you're wondering if that child that maybe you had a miscarriage, or maybe the child died from unexpected causes and you don't know, and you're wondering, will you ever see them? The short answer is yes, you will. Because in 2 Samuel, God gives us a little glimpse of what's going on. And this is when David, if you remember, he had a relationship with Bathsheba, and it was not a relationship that God blessed. And David lied and cheated, and he arranged somebody's death, and he did all kinds of horrible things. They conceived a baby, and the baby was born. And Nathan the prophet came and said, this baby is going to die. David immediately begins to fast and pray. He begins to just search after God, pleading with God. But then he gets news that the baby has passed. And look at his reaction. Then David got up from the ground, and after he washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food and he ate. And the servants were like going, well, this is weird. And you learn that he's passed away, and now you're going to eat? And then the servants ask him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and you wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and you eat? He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let this child live. But now that he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? And listen to this conclusion. I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Those are powerful words. Do you know what David's saying? That baby has already went into the presence of the Lord in heaven. And he is with God. And he says, that baby can't come back to me, but one day I will go to him. I will go to him and he will be in heaven, or she will be in heaven. So you're wondering, will you ever see him? Yeah. Heaven, I picture heaven, just having millions and millions and millions and millions of babies because of some that were terminated by man's hand, which is a tragedy, and some that were terminated in a pregnancy because it couldn't take place in the wife or in the woman. or maybe that child seen the light of the earth for a little while and they passed. Those children are all in heaven. And God tells us that. Heaven is going to be filled with the joy of babies. Will they grow up, stay babies for the rest of their life? I don't know. But this is what I know. They're there. So heaven's a much better place. And the last thing that I just wanted to hit on real quick is, do you know what we're going to do while we're there? We're going to work. That's exactly what you wanted to hear, right? I hate working. Well, you're not going to be a sluggard in heaven. You're not going to sit around and have the angels serving you grapes and fanning you. You are going to be doing something. God made us as purposeful people. He gave us a purpose to accomplish, and he's going to give us a purpose in heaven to accomplish too. But when you work in heaven, you are going to love it. You are going to enjoy it. You're going to find fulfillment in it because you were designed to work. In the garden, take it back to the garden. They were put in the garden, the perfect garden. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to tend it and subdue it, right? They were designed to work. But it'll be perfect, and you'll find fulfillment. You see, we got to start living for heaven. We got to start keeping heaven in mind and all the decisions that we're making, because heaven is so much better. And I just want to close with Revelations 22, and this is kind of the last parts of Revelations. Verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may go through the gates and into the city." And those are people who have accepted Jesus Christ. "Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves the practices of falsehood." So God says there's people not going to be there. And Jesus says, "I have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the church. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." And the last words of the Bible is a plea to us. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you this afternoon, this week, to invite Christ to be part of your life. Take time and surrender your life to him and accept the free gift, because while you're here on earth, there still is time to accept that gift. But there is going to come in a time when heaven and earth collide that you will not be able to accept this, and you will not have eternity in the presence of God forever. Heaven. For those of you that are believers, there's an urgency here for you. You need to start living with heaven in mind. We are so focused on this earth and getting our temporal things. We have this longing that is so deep inside of us that we long to fill it with something. And I remember seeing the Apple store when they came out with the iPhone, the last version, the iPhone 6 Plus and 6 and all these other versions. I can't remember them all. But they showed lines and lines of people, like blocks of people, lined up waiting outside, and they're waiting to get the stupid phone. And they're being interviewed, and they're saying, "Do you know if you're going to even get one?" They're like, "We don't know if we're going to get one." "How long is it going to take?" "We don't know." They would wait in line, and they might get to the door, and they close the shop. And then they would lay there and sleep overnight in hopes that they were going to get something greater. They thought this little phone, this longing that they're longing after, is going to bring some type of satisfaction. The only thing that will ever fulfill the longing that you have deep inside is when you have a relationship with Christ, and when you are in this place that's called heaven, in the presence of God. We are longing for something. What are you going to put there? Because what you put there now matters in the future. And let's start living with heaven in mind. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and God, I just thank you. I thank you that you are so mindful of us, that you wanted us to be with you, that you would orchestrate such an elaborate plan, that you would send your Son into this world to die for our sins, just to redeem us to you so that we could live with you forever and you could stand with us and you could say, I am their God and they are my people. God, I just thank you that you love us that much. But God, help us to fully comprehend heaven. Help us to see that we need to look towards it with excitement and with anticipation and with longing. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.